I'll be reading from John 13, so if you follow along on your bulletins or on the screen. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you, disciples, are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are no greater than their masters, nor is a messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them."
Thank you. So we're making our way through Rooted, and we're to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is about having a significant life. Significant life, part 1. We know it's true. We make a living through what we gain. We make a life through what we give. And life really is, in the end, more about giving than it is about getting. Jesus makes that very clear in our passage. The bottom line of our passage this morning, don't miss that, is Jesus says it's important for leaders to be servants. Those of high position are here to serve, but we also serve one another, whether we're in a high position or a less than high position. He takes the role of the newest, youngest servant, washing the feet of those that have come to dinner. Common practice, by the way. Everybody wore sandals. They didn't have a blacktop for roads, and so they were dusty. People came to your house with dirty, dusty, sweaty feet. And it was your job, because you were the new one, the newbie, you got the worst job, and that was cleaning the feet of all those who came. Now, you could tell I don't even really like that idea. My daughter went on a mission trip with her church down to Tijuana, Mexico. And her job for 3 days with a few other college graduate school students was to go to a nursing home in Tijuana, Mexico, and give pedicures to all of the residents. Send me to the gang members. Let me go talk with the drug lords. Give me a sledgehammer and tell me you want this 3-story building down to the foundation. Not that. Not that. Now, the other thing I don't want you to miss in this passage is Peter. Gotta love that guy. He is Mr. Enthusiasm. He's all into it. He says, oh man, don't wash my, just wash all of me. Give me a bath, Jesus. What does Jesus say? Yeah, if you're clean already, you just need a little freshening up. You just need your feet washed. And by the way, I'm Jesus. If I say, I want to wash your feet, you should let me wash your feet. Now, the bottom line is Jesus gives us a model that we all ought to emulate in our life. The idea that we're here to serve other people. So let's go over some basics about service. And then I want to move into serving up your service. Number one, don't forget you were created for service. We looked at this verse a few weeks ago. For we are God's creation. You are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us to do long ago. Ooh, long ago. You're not an accident and your service is not unintentional. Your service is very intentional. God created you so that you could carry out his will of service throughout your life. And he knew what you would do to serve before the foundations of the earth were put in their place. It's another version. You've been chosen and you've been called. It is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work. I'm not the only one doing holy work, by the way. Notice it doesn't say just the pastors and the teachers. Notice it doesn't say just say the elders and the deacons. It doesn't just say the ministry team leadership. All of us have been chosen to do his holy work. That was his plan long before the world began. Now, God's gifted you to do what he wants you to do. God has given each of you some special abilities. Some of you are special, all right. You have a special ability, don't you? Sure you do. I think everybody is particularly good at a couple of things. And we know that as we exercise that, there's something going on more than just our own application, our own smarts, or even our own dedication. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to do what? Help each other. Help each other. We will be held accountable. We don't necessarily like reading these passages. We want to think we're just going to kind of flow along and there'll never be some evaluation or examination of what we do, but that's not what the Bible says. So then each of you will give an account of themselves to God. Ooh. Yeah, that's what it means. As you've heard me talk before, there's the final judgment. You guys are going to heaven, you guys are going to hell. And then after that, there's a second judgment, the Bema judgment. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians. And that's what's being alluded to here. God's going to pull up a chair next to you and say, what did you do with what I gave you? What'd you do? You know, that's the whole point of the parable of the talents, by the way. The bottom line of that parable is not about you using your gifts and your abilities. It's about the fact that you will be held accountable. God will ask you simply, what did you do with what I gave you? And he's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you abilities and talents. Have you used that for his holy work? And simply, his holy work is enriching and expanding the kingdom of God. The generation that is passing away right now is the builder generation. They built all sorts of stuff. They accomplished great feats. But when you stand before God, he's going to ask you, what did you do to expand and enrich my kingdom? Now, the other thing is he's really good at rewarding us. He loves us. How many of you know how to spoil your children? Yeah. We only have a dog at home, and I've been told that we spoil that dog. And if anyone says we're spoiling him, we just look at them and say, no, he is just much loved. When we love someone, we like to spoil them. God wants to spoil us. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not people. That's a great image, isn't it? What would Jesus say if he was standing next to you as you served? Ooh, or forgot to serve, or chose not to serve his kingdom. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Now, that's talking about eternity. But I think there are present day rewards as well. In fact, you know, if you get really stressed out or really depressed, there's a real good solution to how to get out of your blue funk. Just go serve someone. Find someone who's worse off than you are, and you may feel like you're really bad off, and you might be. But it's amazing to me how serving someone else changes my attitude, my heart, my soul, the way I think. It gives me a chance to put my losses or my hits at this point of my life, this day in my life, in perspective. And the best perspective to have is a heavenly perspective, isn't it? All right. Here are the pointers of serving up your service. Simply, when are you supposed to serve? Now, I'll bet you know the answer to that. The answer to that is in about a month. You know, the answer to that is it's next year. No. I can't serve until my house is built. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I'll serve when it's more convenient for me. Here's a tough one, and I think it's an important one. I'll serve when I have more resource of one kind or another. And I think, like money, if you don't honor God when you have a little bit of time, you're not going to honor him when you have a lot of time. So we need to serve now. We need to serve today. We need to take our place on God's team this morning and not put it off. We serve now, and we serve all the time. You're done serving when God takes you out of here or he comes back. There is a place for every person on God's team. We're all the body of Christ. We have different abilities. When we put them all together, it's amazing how we function. It's amazing how well we do at what God wants us to do. When do we serve? We serve right now. Take heed to to do the ministry you've received from the Lord and fulfill it. Well, I don't know what my ministry is from the Lord. Well, we want to help you find that out. Until you find out exactly what you're to do, pray the prayer. Lord, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Give me an engaged heart and soul as I move forward today. And thank you for giving me hands and feet and an intellect that gives me an ability to serve anybody around me. We serve now and we serve lifelong. We serve everywhere. All right, here's the challenging one. Who do we serve? Now, notice what Luke records in Acts 1. And you will be my witnesses everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Those are concentric circles, expanding circles. Where do we serve? First and foremost, read the Bible. You serve your church. The Bible is extremely clear about that. You have special abilities and talents and spiritual gifts, first and foremost, to what? Build up the body of Christ. Build up the body of Christ. Why the church? Its singular vision is the expansion and the enrichment of God's kingdom, His eternal agenda. And that's the vision and that's the agenda for everything we do. Now, it may not look like that. It may not look that way to you. It might not even look that way to an outsider, but I can tell you that's the bottom line of every ministry, program, and activity we have. And so by definition, this is the number one place you serve. Now, number two, you serve other people and organizations, groups that have an eternal agenda. People say, well, why do you say that? What about this and what about that? It may be a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. Serving something good is good. But I'm one of those people, as you've heard me say, that eternity is in the balance. And so the second tier of our service is to other people and other groups that have an eternal agenda. That's why our high school kids are going to pick up and go down to Mexico and do a work project at a Christian orphanage. Why? They need help. They need help. They need our kids and they need our money so that they can deal with children that are unwanted in their region. In fact, the government has identified Door of Faith Orphanage as one of the top institutions in all of Mexico. They send people who aren't Christians to Door of Faith to learn how to do an orphanage the right way. And there's a lot of love in that place. There's a lot of eternal agenda there. And so our church and other extensions of the church. The third group that you serve is anybody the Holy Spirit prompts you to serve. You ever had that happen to you? Think about Christmas time every once in a while. That usually helps us a little bit. Now, I'm not like that. I know you probably find this hard to believe, but when I'm really going, I'm like this. I become target focused in what I'm doing. And so I have to get out of that. I told you I'm old and I need to do some yoga when I get up in the morning, stretching, and I do the preacher one, I call it. It's got another name, but I call it the preacher one. You know, I get on my knees and I stretch out my arms as far as I can, and when I'm down there, I pray a little prayer. Your will, not my will. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, the heart and soul to feel. You've given me hands and feet so I can go and I can serve. And the question is, do I stay engaged enough during the day that I feel or hear those inner promptings? Now, some of you are really gifted at helping and serving, and you're thinking, what's he talking about? It's so easy to do this. It's so good to do this. It's easy when you got that gift. It's a little more challenging when that's not where your spiritual gift is. And so we need to focus and look forward. We're expanding from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the other side of the world. The final group, and not necessarily in a last priority, is serve wherever anybody is in need. Serve where anybody else needs service. God does give us a priority in His scriptures. Because of the agenda of the church, it needs to be at the top. Is God not interested in helping other people? Absolutely, He is. But He makes it very clear that just like any other organism, the larger it gets, the greater its ability to have an impact. And we all know this. If there isn't a spiritual synergism here, that's going to have an effect as we go out there. When we have a spiritual synergism here, it's amazing what we get done. Amazing what we get done. So how do we do this? I don't think it's all that complicated. 1 Corinthians 12:5, there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Now, it does get down to that. I know that if you're a guest or you're new, you know, don't take this too hard. But when Jesus is our day-to-day Lord as well as our Savior, God will create in us a servant's heart. I can't make you be a servant. I can't make you develop a servant's heart. I can challenge you. I can lay it out. But whether you have a heart to serve, that's really up to you. You have to decide that. But I know this, that if Jesus is your Lord, then you should be ready to serve. And how are you going to serve? You're going to serve you using your spiritual gift, your talents, and your abilities. I'll give a little plug for step number 3. There you get to graph your shape for ministry. Spiritual giftedness, heart passion, abilities and talents, and experience. You know what you're good at. You know what comes very easy to you. And most of the time, that's the ability and the talent that the Holy Spirit uses. Sometimes there's a lot of work involved, but most of the time, you already got what it takes. You just got to have the mindset and the heart orientation to serve. And so in the Rooted book, they do a great job of giving you 3 points. Number one, examine your life. What are your abilities and talents? What are your abilities and talents? Then experiment. I think I might be good at this. And so you get involved in that ministry, and our style is to not let you jump in all the way. Our style is you wade in with everybody, and the people who are really gifted and lead in, it'll all come out as we experiment with where our place of service is. And then we evaluate, and the evaluation I think is really simple. Is it good for them? Is it good for you? You may be happy as a clam, but they're not. Right? You might feel really good, but they don't feel that. Boy, that didn't. They are not gifted there. And it's okay. It's again, that's why we don't necessarily jump in with both feet. We make our way in. And I will say this, especially with all the men in the room, just because you ran some gigantic corporation and broke all the records and everything, you may not be a leader in terms of your giftedness when it comes to a spiritual agenda. Because this is a church, not a corporation. We're not an organization, we're an organism. Now, if you find that exciting, give me an email this week. I'd love to take you to lunch. You've got abilities, talents, experience, a heart passion someplace. Experiment, evaluate, experiment. Evaluate's last. Examine. Experiment, evaluate. Now, let's wrap it up. As we go, many parts of the same body with our special abilities, everybody is a 10 in something. And I believe everything that goes on in a church is important. It runs best when the 10s are put in their place. How many NFL teams that didn't make it to the playoffs will tell you, well, we have this weakness over here, and that's why we didn't do better. We got a star here and a star here. But you know what? If you don't have a right guard that knows how to pull, you're in a lot of trouble. If you got a quarterback that can throw, but you don't have linemen that can keep those gigantic guys, and they're really fast. If they're running all day long because those guys are chasing them, no wonder, right? We need a 10 at every position. I think everything's important. It's not all about what happens up here. The reason I know that is how many of you have ever been stranded in a commode without any tickets in the roll? Excuse me, I don't know you, but could you pass me some toilet paper? I have another one, but I can't do it with adults. Only middle school boys. They love the other one. Is that important? Darn tootin', it's important. Jan got it. If you don't have that, what do you have? A mess. So, you find your place, everything's important. We go joyfully and generously. Joyfully and generously as we go. We go not only under our own human power, but we go with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll know you're letting the Holy Spirit lead you as you make your way, because he's going to go little to the left, little to the right. No. Don't keep going that way. Go over here. And that's part of the experimentation part. And you'll know that the Holy Spirit sent you the right way, a better way. Sometimes he tells you to go that way, and you're going, why did you tell me? This is hellish. Oh, because when we get on the other side of that, now we're getting to the heavenly part. But you'd never get to the heavenly part if you didn't go the tough route for a while. And then finally, we go individually, but we also go corporately. Right? We do better together than we do alone. Don't we? Now, it's okay if you like being alone and you're an introvert. We got things for you to do. But you know, we do better. There's too much to do to not include everyone. Actually, to not need everyone in service. And I know those moments where we have tens everywhere, man, we rock. It's awesome. We make headway in our aspiration to be a Great Commission church. We make strides, big steps in expanding and enriching God's kingdom. And in the end, that's it. That goal is worth your very best effort. And my goal is that when you find a place, it's good for them and good for you. That as you find a place, it's something that fits your shape for service. So, bottom line, God's done his part. Can you see that in what I've presented? God's done his part. The only question is, will you do your part? Let's pray together. Lord, I know in the room there are people that they've stepped up and stepped out, and that was really not a very good experience. Lord, help us to be wise as well as ready. But it is about being ready. It's about being open. It's about an understanding in our heart, mind, and soul that eternal agenda, eternal purpose is the one and only thing that matters. Why? Because eternity with you will last a lot longer than the 80, 90, 100 years we might have on this planet. And Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. It does so much good for us when we serve. What a perspective, what a meaning you bring to us as we serve others. It's true, Lord. Some of us are, that comes way easier to us than others, yet you call us all to service. You've equipped us all. So help us to evaluate. Help us to examine, experiment, and evaluate. Because today, Lord, we're deciding that we are willing to step in the circle of eternity. And we're willing to step up to what it is that you're calling us to do. That together as your church, we might serve not only one another, but this community, this country, and this world. And Lord, thank you for all of your blessing, all the talent and ability that you've given us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.